Yeah, I'm waiting for the day when you no longer need earphones or earbuds to do this. Because I swear to you, I manage to tie my iPhone earbuds into knots that require computers to figure out how to untie. Oh, getting in the car, heading to lunch. Forgive me, Kate. I know you set me straight on recording audio booze as I drive. But it's actually pretty easy. It's not really any different than talking on my phone with my earbuds in, and it's not as though I'm barreling at 80 miles an hour down the road. Actually, where I'm going is so close, I probably won't even get up to 20 miles an hour between here and there. But anyway, it's cold. And I'm breathing hard. Not because I can't breathe, but because my head is so congested and I keep forgetting to breathe through my mouth because I can't breathe through my nose. Anyway, thank you for the comment. I got some comments back about what I was talking about yesterday on the audio boo regarding filmmaking and how I kind of want to be involved in making films and sort of seeing what's next for movies, because that whole thing is changing very quickly. The way movies are distributed are changing pretty fast. It is becoming more and more common for a first-run film to appear on demand, you know, local cable networks. I know iTunes. I was actually pretty excited. A documentary that I've been looking forward to seeing for a while about Ray Kurzweil, who's a futurist and inventor and all-around genius. There's a documentary coming out called The Transcendent Man, and it's essentially about Ray and his whole shtick. It should be a fantastic documentary, and I've been looking forward to seeing it. I know I actually sent it along to a couple of friends in New York who I'm hoping they get a chance to see it at least and tell me how awesome it was, because apparently the showing of the film there is going to include a presentation at the beginning by Kurzweil himself, so that should be cool. But I did see the other day that they were going to be they're rolling that film out on a tour around the country, mostly the coast, obviously, and of course, being in a flyover state, that sort of screws me over for seeing it in a theater. But they're going to take it on tour to sort of release it. But then, happy day, I saw that at the beginning of March, it's also going to be available on iTunes, which is really, that makes me happy, because that's a lot of the stuff that I'm watching these days. I'm watching directly off iTunes or Netflix or something like that. I'm about to cancel my cable service simply because I don't need it anymore. You know, changing the way we watch this sort of thing, you know, the way we watch television and film is only going to increase from here on out. The changes are only going to get more dramatic. And I'm curious to know what kind of distribution good filmmaking is going to get, good cinema is going to get in the future. I mean, how is that going to look? You can't help but wonder, are we going to get to a point where a local movie theater sort of disappears entirely? And I think that we are going to get to that point. Either that, or what a movie theater is going to change so dramatically wow, it is crowded here. I don't think I'm going to be going here. Come on. Well, maybe I will. Okay. It'll give me time to record. Anyway, you know, are our movie theaters going to change? Possibly so. I'm curious to know what they're going to change into. Why do you go to a movie theater? You used to go to a movie theater because that was just the paradigm. That was the way it worked. That's how you saw the new stuff that somebody out in California was making and putting up on screens. Now, frankly, I think there's a lot more money to be made at home. So, you know, you always have to follow the money, and in that case, that's where it's going to go. So I could see sort of a model like this, where you have smaller filmmakers like myself, who obviously aren't going to be able to make the giant studio, you know, set pieces that we are kind of accustomed to ever since the 80s and the 70s. But you're going to have smaller filmmakers making really, you know, sometimes really awesome films, probably pretty frequently kind of mediocre or crappy films. But then you'll have a network of distribution that's going to carry that just directly from that those filmmakers to a web page near you, or to a set-top, you know, some sort of internet-connected set-top right to your HDTV. That's going to be the way this thing is going to work. So the real question is, who out there is already sort of pushing it in that direction? And I've been kind of looking that up. I'm always on the lookout for, you know, how people are handling those sorts of things. And I'm not finding anybody yet, I think, that's being as bold as I suspect we're going to see more in the future. But of course, that's the distribution end of things. That's getting you know, flickering images in front of somebody's face. What about actually making the movies in the first place? Of course, that's what I was talking about yesterday. And boy, I mean, it's kind of exciting. The more I was thinking about this all last night, you know, how do you get a movie made? You've got pre-production, production, and post-production. You know, to break it into the three really general categories for making a movie. Pre-production, of course, is all the planning and writing the script and finding the people and finding the money to do stuff that you need to do, locations, etc. Then you have production, which is obviously actually filming it and props and the costumes and etc. And then, of course, you wrap all that up with post-production, you know, editing, any type of effects that are needed, special effects. You may be surprised how many TV shows you would never suspect use a lot of blue screens and green screens. They're all the time these days in primetime television, a lot of those hour-long dramas that are about hospitals and stuff, they frequently create digital settings for them. You know, you see them walking through a city or something. Most of the time, that's a backlot, and they've added the city in digitally. But anyway, so how do you distribute that over a wide group of people? And I came up with a really interesting idea. I got to pause here real quick, but then I'm going to jump into the idea and kind of explain it a little. Bing, and it's like magic. That was probably less than a second for you. That was about 5 minutes for me. Where was I? Yes, my idea on one way of making a movie. One of the things that there's tons of things that can be relatively easily done distributing the production of a movie over, say, the internet, you know, over a network of people that are just connected through the internet. But, like, for my purposes, since I tend to kind of lean heavily towards sci-fi, and I like space, I like spaceships, I like good stories that can be told, you know, through that kind of extreme future sci-fi kind of stuff. Obviously, making a movie like that has in the past only been something that, only the studios could do. But now you got a lot of really talented computer artists, you got a lot of really talented specialists in color and texture and that sort of thing. I've kind of had this idea that it might be possible to form, you could almost call them guilds, that might be able to really distribute a lot of that work a little bit more easily in return for recognition, experience, you know, sort of a loose affiliation of people that are all looking to help each other improve in their craft. And the way they do that is by, instead of doing sort of their own little thing and, you know, working on this, working on that as they can, but something just a little bit more organized, perhaps. I don't know. I'm kind of shooting from the cuff here because I'm hungry and distracted. But that's an idea I would love for other people to sort of think over and see if that's something that, am I kidding myself, or is there something potentially there? You know, think of it like, you know, guilds of computer animators and computer artists, guilds of amateur costumers that can sort of pool their resources and pool their connections in order to get some of these movies made, some of these little tiny independent nothings that don't have much of a budget and don't have the facilities to do what they really need to do in order to make some great movies. But, you know, these networks, these guilds of sort of film craftsmen would be able to pull together in that way. I think it could be cool. I think there's the potential for something there. If you think so, or if you think not, or if you have a better idea, send me an email, isoban@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at isoban, I-S-O-B-A-N, and I'm going to go and eat my chicken sandwich. And until next time, I'm anxious to hear some more of what you guys think.